You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal joined by Lincoln Kennedy. And thank you for joining us for our first draft edition, of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our good friends at Coors Light. And Lincoln, just a few minutes ago, the Raiders announced their pick, number 17 overall, Alex Leatherwood from the University of Alabama. And we've received, I think it's fair to say, some mixed emotions on the social media.
Why?
On the Twitters, which is a great question. I'm going to ask you. I get that it's not an overly sexy pick. I understand. And before you get all in a tizzy, nothing but love to the big fellas.
Well, that's
you
right.
know that.
Right, right.
You know that. But when you look at Alex Leatherwood, let's start. I'm a positive guy. You know that.
Right.
Let's start. What does this kid do well?
Versatility. Played every position in the offensive line except for center. And he's aggressive in the run. And I think he's a plug-and-play guy right now. Now, I've said all along in our draft talk and all the platforms that I've been on that they need to address the right tackle position. They need to have a guy who comes in day one and can play because there's a void. Right now on this roster, there's a void at that position. And so the drafting Alex Leatherwood, to me, made sense. Now, you know, people might sit there and say, well, it's not a sexy pick. Well, they said the same thing about Colton Miller. You're drafting for a need. This team needed a right tackle, just like it needs other places and other pieces, you know, safety, linebacker. But because they still have enough draft capital, they might be able to address those other positions later in the draft. And they should, just like they did last year. So I love the pick.
And I'm glad you brought up the Colton Miller thing, because how quickly we forget, Lincoln.
Yes.
And you and I were in that Alameda studio, that beautiful Alameda studio a few years ago when Colton was the pick. And there, to be fair, you know, there was a mixed reaction.
Certainly.
And now we fast forward to 2021, and people
and now
are like,
you got your franchise
and
left
you got
tackle.
Your guy.
That's right.
And so I think obviously you're hoping that the Alex Leatherwood situation is Colton Miller 2.0.
Right.
But I think what's hard is I feel like everyone's got their mock drafts,
certainly,
right? And you and I have looked at dozens of
certainly
these, you know, just in our spare time over the past couple of months. And just because a guy doesn't pop on a mock draft, your casual fan thinks, oh, no, this guy can't play. This guy's no good.
Right.
But that is the furthest thing from the truth when you look at this kid from Alabama.
Well, and I agree with you. And also you look at all the other mock drafts and everybody who was talking about the frenzy around quarterbacks. Well, you got five quarterbacks that win the first round.
Who are not all first-round guys, let's
be clear. But you're drafting for a need. You have teams that drafted for a need or got their guy through needs. And so it is what it is when it falls to a place like this, because now the thing is when you watch the right tackle or when you watch tackles, there were a number of places that you could go. But there were all red flags thrown up over so many of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with the pick. I like the pick. I think he's a day one starter, which they need. And now these next two picks that they have in the second, you know, and third rounds are going to be critical too, because they need to be impact players in their own way.
You know, we talk about being that day one starter, which I think the presumption is right now that everything, if he's healthy and he's ready to rock, he's your guy on the right side of the line. What are the challenges going to be for him as a rookie right tackle in this division especially?
Well, I think that's a critical part, this division, because you've got guys like Von Miller and whatever the future is and where he comes at. He was always dangerous, right? And he played over that right tackle position. You know, you got Bosa out of the Chargers. I mean, these are guys that you're going to have to deal with consistently. So edge rushers are premier in this, especially in this division, not only around the league, but I think one of the things that I told with JT that in this offense – you can protect a right tackle and from a lot of exposure. Our team runs a lot of 12 personnel, two tight ends, personnel. There's oftentimes where they keep it back in the chip. They are not afraid of running max protection. We've seen that at times. So Tom Cable did a marvelous job last year plugging and playing guys, you know, just to get through the season. But now you finally addressed it, and just like he did with Colton Miller, tremendous evaluation over Colton Miller, you know, way back when. Now look at where you got your tackle, your right tackle. You've addressed an immediate need.
And the way that it feels like the NFL is going these days, Lincoln, you can't just have a stud left tackle anymore. You need to have a stud left tackle. You need to have a stud right tackle. You need to protect your quarterback.
Certainly.
And we were talking about this division, and we know that Derek Carr, and this is not specific to Derek, it's quarterbacks in general. Derek is at his best.
Right.
He is at his most efficient. He is at his most explosive when he has time to operate in the pocket.
When he feels secure.
When he feels secure. Yeah. So if you're number four, you got to look at this pick, and you got to be jumping for joy, I would imagine.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You also look at the fact that you want to be a power running football team. Gruden wants to have a two-back running system. He's addressed the fact that we were an abomination on third down short. You address that with this pick. And again, the biggest and most critical thing is you don't have time to develop somebody, especially with these picks. These picks are critical because they provide a need or service a need, just like they did last year when they addressed the wide receiver position. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You have a blatant need, and it's affecting your overall status. Now you go out and you get a guy who's a day one starter.
And we've kind of looked on the internet over the past, gosh, 30 whatever minutes since the pick came in. And the thing that keeps coming up is this guy seems to be a dominant force in the run game. Is that something that you feels like you can't teach that? It feels like that's more of a mentality than kind of teaching pass protection.
That's exactly right. This is, you know, I think when people look at this team, they get excited because they saw what Derek Carr was able to do with 4,000 yards and stuff like that. And I certainly appreciate that. I certainly respect the fact that you want to get the ball to Ruggs and Waller and those guys. But don't forget, you've got a pretty doggone good running back there. And there are times where you've seen flashes of a dominant running game. You went out and got Kenyon Drake. You see what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You've got running backs in that backfield that you want to get the ball to. We know that Gruden. I know that Gruden because I play for the man. I know that he wants to run the ball. They want to get downhill and they want to attack people. They want to control the clock. They want to control the time of possession. You do that by dominating up front. Everything starts up front.
And when we look back to when this offense was really humming a year ago, Link, you know, for those first, call it 8, 10, 12 weeks, there was a very clear formula to them winning and to them finding success on offense. It was controlling the line of scrimmage. It was getting Josh and Devontae Booker involved.
Yep.
And then letting Derek kind of work off of that.
Yes.
And if we can kind of replicate that in 2021 with now Kenyon Drake, a guy who we think is pretty explosive, a guy that we're excited to see, a healthy Josh Jacobs with a stud offensive line, there's worse things. There's worse places to be, Lincoln.
It's a very simple formula for success. You know, you can control.
And simple isn't bad, though. And
simple is not bad. It's not flashy. It might not be sexy. I don't know what. I honestly would have to, go out to the nation and sort of get a little bit of an opinion poll. What do you think was sexy at 17?
Mm-hmm.
What were you hoping for? I mean, what were you looking for? I mean, it's not. There wasn't a flash in the pants guy that was still available on the board that I saw. Maybe I'm wrong. But I do know that this team, and I've been saying it all along, they needed to address the right tackle spot. I think they did that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that you looked at this team, you looked at the needs of this team that have become evident since January.
Right.
And the way that Mayock and Gruden, in my opinion, have gone about the past 3 or 4 months is I've said they got a checklist, right? Mm-hmm. And they've just gone methodically, check, 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 coming into tonight. Whether you want to admit it or not, right tackle was one of the most glaring things left on that checklist.
Certainly.
And they addressed it. And the name might not be the name that the fans are going to get all hot and bothered over, but then it has been addressed. And so now as we look ahead to tomorrow, Lincoln, because people tend to forget, the draft is a 3-day affair.
Right, of course.
I know that we get lost in day one, and I'm guilty of it too, where you just get excited and, yes, we're going to change overnight. But you look at day two now. Three picks as it stands now, 48, 79, and 80. So you got those back-to-back in the third round. What is the biggest need for this team as we head into Friday, the draft of 2020?
I still think it's a defense impact player, whether it's at safety or linebacker. Now, I was talking with EA, who was doing a couple shows, and he was telling me that there were three standout safeties that he thought were capable or could have sort of first, second round grade. But then it was a pretty big drop-off out there. I think the same thing could be said about linebacker. Now, depending on how this first round fills out, you know, because there were still some linebackers that are left on the board. I think you might want to go there. Or even – and it's not a blaring need in the sense that like it was for right tackle linebacker. I know we've got – you know, we got Littleton and Kukowski, and they expect things out of Morrow and stuff like that and Tanner Muse. So I know that the linebacker room is kind of full. But you do have draft capital by having those next three picks that you mentioned, the one in the second round and the two in the third. So if there's somebody – say, you know, tomorrow, somebody that you love, and it's early in the first round, you might want to jump up to 33 or 34. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything is possible. So you do have that capital of knowing it. But, you know, what I've watched with Mayock and Gruden and their draft patterns, they've addressed needs, and then they've addressed needs with depth.
Yeah.
They did it at the defensive tackle spot. Look how many defensive linemen we currently have on the roster. You see what I'm saying? This is somewhat of her camp bodies and everything else, but they addressed it last year with the wide receiver position. Look how many times they picked wide receivers in the draft. You know what I mean? And it's important that these next couple picks be right because they have to have an immediate impact on a team. You can't afford to sit back and wait. You know, you've got that 17th game now, so no one's finishing 500 anymore. And this division is not going to get any easier. The Chargers seem to found their formula at quarterback. The Broncos are eventually going to get it right. You know, I've said that. And then you know where the Chiefs are. So this can be a division that you can beat up on everybody. You want to keep the ball maybe away from opposing offenses. This is why a good running game is equally effective as anything else.
And I've got you right up that 17th game because, you know, we're thinking you can't go 500 anymore, right? But you think about that 17th game and you think about the fact that, and we saw it a year ago, you need to be able to go from 1 to 53 on your roster and feel good about number 1 and number 37 and number 53. Right. So you speak about that depth and you talk about the things that Mike and John have done over the past, you know, 18 months about building up that depth. Yeah. We talk about the receivers. That's a perfect example of it. And when I look at tomorrow, I look at day two, it needs to be that again.
Yes.
Like you said, it's addressing the defensive side of the ball. And let's not forget, you and I have had this talk a million times over the past year, Lincoln. The defense has got to get better.
I think
that by and large, I'll put it this way. I think the defense is better now than it was at the end of the season.
Okay.
Undoubtedly.
Right.
I think the defensive line is better. I think that there's still some question marks on the secondary and things like that. But I think overall this defense is better. But I would love to see them get some more pieces tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I think they will. I think it comes in the secondary, and I also think it probably comes in addition in the linebacker room to some extent. Maybe not a day one starter, but somebody who can be help you with depth. Look, I've said this all along, and my partner on radio, Vinny Bonsignore, also said the same thing. You know, you don't need to be the 85 Bears. But you can't be the worst team in defense in the league, just about. You know what I mean? You have to be able to slow people down. This offense is going to be a good defense because it can score points. And that's great. That puts the pressure on the opposing team. But you got to be able to slow people down. So I'm not even looking for top 10 defense. I mean, I'm sure they probably want that. I'm saying if you're around 12, 13, 14, 15 – we're winning 3-4 more games.
And exactly. You look at what this team did a year ago, and candidly, with all due respect to everyone on that side of the football, coaches, players, everyone involved, that defense was not a good defense.
Not at all.
And the fact that you were still able to win 8 games, the fact that you were in almost every single game that you played because, by and large, of that offense, because of Derek Carr, those big fellas up front and the playmakers out wide, like you said, if you don't even get a top 10 defense, if you just have a defense that is competitive,
that's right,
that is middle of the road,
that's right,
you have got to feel good about this team headed into 2021. And I know the division is, like you said, getting a lot better.
Right.
There are no easy games in this division anymore. And I feel like there hasn't been in a while. But there are no easy games. But if you are able to increase your defense, just raise it a little bit, boy, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun come the fall.
I totally agree. I remember, you know, breaking down before the season and everyone was talking about the offense and they asked me, you know, how many points they had to score. And I remember specifically saying they need to score at least 30 a game. To be fair, it's possible, but it's not necessarily always plausible. It's not something that's going to
happen. And there's going to be days where that's just not in the cards.
That's exactly right.
There's going to be days like that.
You know, you didn't have that great scoring output out of Cleveland, but you're able to get a win. Why were you able to get? You were able to run the ball, and your defense did show up and make some plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, create some turnovers. Those are the things that's got to happen. But we also have to see improvement out of guys that we were relying on, whether it's the defensive line, whether it's, you know, linebackers or whatever it is. And you've got to see some level of consistency. You've got Trayvon Mullen took a great step forward with his coverage skills. They had him playing a lot of press. Now, I thought they would do the same thing with Damon Arnett, but through COVID's inconsistency and scheme, that wasn't always the case. And so I thought he was it was a wrong scheme to have him in when they were playing, you know, the cover twos and fours and stuff like that. So they've got to figure out a scheme for the personnel they have, especially, you know, guys like Jonathan Abram. You went and got Colton Miller the linebacker, Carl Joseph, I'm sorry. You went and got Joseph re-signed him for a reason.
Yeah.
You're trying to create depth at that position. And so I still think they have that ability to address the need with the other picks coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And low-key, the Carl Joseph signing is, I think, one of my favorite signings of the year. And we'll have to talk about that another day. But before we get out of here, Link, we just look at the first round. Biggest surprise, like, is there a surprise to you when you look at what happened so far tonight? I feel like the draft is always full of surprises, especially this first night.
Not a surprise. I think that what I've seen so far, and I only got up to the Washington football team pick. I didn't see what's happened afterwards. Because there was such a quarterback frenzy, I knew good players were going to fall to different teams in different places. And if you look at somebody like the Cowboys did, they traded with the Philadelphia Eagles just back two picks back because they knew the Eagles weren't looking at linebacker. They were looking at receiver. So they could get their linebacker, who they got, Micah Parsons. You know, it fell to him. Now, people projected Micah Parsons as a top 5 pick, and he was picked at number 12. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're talking about, again, value. You know what I mean? So that and they also picked up another third round pick. So again, not really a whole lot of surprise. Kind of went business as usual. But you know, I think it's dangerous when a team like New England gets a guy like Mac Jones. You know, at the 15th pick, and they didn't have to give up anything to get him. But they obviously got their quarterback of the future, and he's under a system that I think is cohesive to his skills. I think it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, and we were talking about it. He looked angry too, didn't he? He looked angry walking that podium.
You know, we referred to the Colton Miller draft, and remember when the Raiders traded with the Cardinals, the Cardinals could get Josh Rosen. Oh. Josh Rosen was equally angry. I'm gonna make everyone pay.
Nine mistakes, Link. Exactly. Nine mistakes. I will think my biggest surprise, and we were joking about this in the green room with EA, was young Mr. Pitt, it was Kyle Pitts, his suit.
Dude,
the green suit.
You got to be more mindful.
I know.
It's not so much it was a green suit, because I love the color green.
Beautiful.
It's the fact that you've got a bright gold or yellow stripe going down your pants, and you've got your elbow pads or and you got a black tie. So your color coordination is a little bit off. You could have went with a green and gold tie to bring out the suit. But
it's not like the man went to North Dakota State or Baylor or something.
It's not even his college color.
I know.
It looks like he wanted to go to the Packers.
I know. That's a whole boy.
Yeah,
we'll do a whole other thing.
We'll do a whole other thing
about the Packers. But hey, Link, we got a lot of work to do tonight. The night is just beginning for us, which is exciting. But also, I got to make sure I crush a few energy drinks between now and the end of the evening. So, for Eddie Pascal, Lincoln Kennedy, our friend Alexandra behind the glass, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And Raider Nation, we're not going anywhere. So stay tuned to Raiders.com and the official Raiders app for everything going on over the next couple days. And we will catch you very soon for our next edition of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.